end of one Six Nations, the start of another, as Wales women kick off their campaign this weekend. Welcome to the Welsh Rugby Union podcast. We'll look back at the Wales men's Six Nations campaign, also the under-20s. We'll focus mainly on the women's team looking to continue their strong recent record against Scotland at the Arms Park. In front of what looks like being a record crowd there for any game other than against England. Coach Ewan Cunningham admits the selection meeting was tough.
Yeah, it was a good headache and a good discussion. A lot of competition, especially in specific areas like the back row, back three as well. With some good players probably missing out on this occasion, but that's what we want. We want to grow depth in this team and have those headaches. But we're pleased that we've settled with the 23 we have and looking forward to seeing them go on Saturday.
You having a lot of confidence in Jenny Hesketh putting her straight in there for a debut at fullback?
Yeah, for sure. You know, she's been excellent in her environment. She's been great playing for Bristol as well when we've watched her. And she brings a different sort of dynamic to her back three. Her skill set's really good. Her footwork's brilliant. She kicks the ball well and... You know, we're hoping that she enjoys and relishes the opportunity.
It's a really exciting looking back line, isn't it, with Nell and Jazz back for the Six Nations as well. I guess that was something that was maybe missing in last year.
Yeah, you know, having someone like Jazz back who can create so much, sometimes out of nothing really, because she's got that X factor, and, you know, on the world stage as well, she's shown it over and over many times. So we're excited and we just got to make sure that we give them enough possession to show what they can do.
Sian Jones set to win her first cap off the bench. That showed that the Celtic Challenge has done its job in finding new talent.
Yes, it has, and we've been really impressed by Sian playing in the Celtic Challenge, and also she did well in last year's under-20s, and she's been on the radar for a while, and we brought her in for some experience last summer, and she developed so much over the last 6 to 9 months, and she deserves that opportunity.
Flaky George has been flying for Gloucester. I think she's one of seven in your starting team. What sort of role have you given her? Have you given her sort of a free role to express herself?
Yeah, definitely. You know, her strengths, everyone sees on a weekly basis playing for Gloucester Harpy, and we want her to go out there and express herself on Saturday and definitely grow a leadership role as well. You know, that shirt is her to really nail down and also drive our game.
The pack has a sort of familiar look to it. Great to see Natalia back after missing WXV.
Yeah, it is, and she's been going really well in the Celtic Challenge. Natalia's really good with regards to the nuts and bolts of the game, and the complement there with Abby Fleming as well is something that we are really pleased to have.
Scotland have named this side 3 sevens players in their squad. It looks a really quality side. Even their bench is full of strength and depth. Full of confidence after winning WXV2. I mean, it's going to be a real challenge on Saturday.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they're on a winning streak at the moment, and coming off confidence from winning at WXV2. So it's all on Saturday, isn't it? And, you know, we're pleased that we're at home, get that chance to play at home in front of home fans, and we've got to try to start as well as we can.
And obviously there's other things at stake here, World Cup qualification and WXV placings as well. I mean, is that in the forefront of your mind or something that you'll think about afterwards?
No, it's something that we've spoken about. It's something that we've thought, you know, about as a group, but we have to stick to the process now and stick to the game plan that we feel hopefully can get us across the line on Saturday.
It was a big leap forward from the first Six Nations as professionals to the second, that 12 months. What can we expect another 12 months on? A similar leap forward, or had a lot of the gains already been made?
I think a lot of the gains have been made, but where do we take that extra leap would be in being more clinical, a level of intensity and maintaining that level. If you watch how England play especially, you know, they really take a level of intensity up to a level where a lot of teams can't cope with. So that's something where we hopefully can maintain that level. We did last year against England for about 30 minutes. So we hopefully can sustain that for a lot longer this year.
And in terms of Scotland, they seem to have taken big leaps forward. The Celtic Challenge has helped them a lot. They've followed Wales in the professional world. How much have they improved?
They've improved a lot, not only from exposure of professional contracts and programmes, but having more playing opportunities with more players playing in the Celtic Challenge, players playing in the PWR. So they're growing and they're a lot better and they continue to get better. So as the gaps are getting closer between sides, you know, it's a very competitive competition.
Last couple of years, an awful lot of the Welsh tries have come from the pack. Are we going to see a bit more of an even split in point scoring this time?
I hope so. We have got a lot of trust in our pack. I think our pack is on their day, can compete with the most sides in the world, and to give our backline a platform, that's what we want to do, and allow them to express themselves. We've got some exceptional backs and we want to give them as much possession as possible.
So let's hear from some of the players mentioned there. Second row Natalia John is back from injury, and we'll hear why it will be such an emotional return to the Arms Park for her.
It kind of makes all the hard work worth it. I think, especially as the women's side, we've put in a lot of graft over the past few years, and it's been really exciting to see how much this team is growing and how much the hype around the team is growing. You know, we've run out in the Principality before, and maybe like we were just a curtain raiser and people may have just been there waiting to catch the men's game, whereas now like people are coming to our games to watch us. So it's just really exciting to see that growth and also present that opportunity for all these other girls coming through. Like, this is the big like world stage, like where else would you want to be?
And you've had your injury battles over the last few years. Just confirm, fully fit and firing?
Yeah, 100% now. Like, I think they say bad things come in threes, and I've had plenty of bad things over the past year. But I'm just really excited to get back to making memories in the Welsh jersey. You know, I've personally had like a really tough year, and my main driver is, you know, the last time I walked out in a Welsh jersey, I was carrying my nephew, and having lost him now, it's... The main thing for me is to make more memories in the Welsh jersey, not just for myself, but to honour his memory as well and make him proud.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because I was at the Arms Park last time you'd have played there, and of course you'll be back. That'll be a pretty emotional return for you.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I'm a bit of a crier anyway. Anyone who knows me is I'm quite a passionate and emotional person, and I definitely wear my heart on my sleeve. But I think that's one thing that sets me apart, is I work so hard and I want to do so well for everyone around me. Like, I really push myself, and especially when it comes to that Welsh jersey, and to get the opportunity to put that Welsh jersey back on is going to be an incredible feeling, and to have that emotional backing of what has happened to me over this past year, and just to know that I am making my family proud, and like something positive has come out of something negative. And you know, I'll continue to push that, and I'll always push myself, and I'll definitely always cry during the anthem.
And just explain the background of what that was with your nephew and what happened to him.
So, sadly, I lost my three-year-old nephew to cancer. You know, he'd been battling cancer since he was about two and a half. And, you know, having like the opportunity for him to walk out on the pitch with me against England was incredible, because I was returning from an injury then. You know, I was still quite fresh, not had a lot of minutes, but to be able to share that moment with him was amazing. And unfortunately, a couple of months after that, then he did pass away, and it has been really hard, especially getting injured again. And rugby was my safe space, and it was where I could kind of turn up to training. Everything was forgotten about what was happening at home or how I was feeling. It was just focusing on the rugby. So I'm just really happy now that I can make more memories in the jersey, and I definitely have someone pushing me now to work even harder.
Looking down, yeah, I mean, it puts everything in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think I've grown a lot as a person over the past year because of it. You know, we made a joke before that I could write resilience on my forehead, and I still believe that. Like, I do think, like, having these experiences and, you know, not being around what your happy place and, like, the mental battles you kind of go through outside of the environment when you're not part of it is huge. And, you know, I'm quite proud of myself, and I'm really grateful for all the people around me that helped keep me sane while I was working, like, you know, running sessions on my own in the Vale while the girls were in New Zealand, for example. But, you know, I'm grateful for all the hard work and, like, all the support that has been around me, and that I have the opportunity to put the Welsh jersey back on now.
I mean, battle to get back for the Six Nations, then got injured again, as you say, and missed the WXV. Ever since you went professional, there's been this great series of experiences, and you've sort of dipped in and out of them. So you deserve a decent run for a while, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that's, like, it's the name of the game. I think before, maybe the matches weren't as intense and the training wasn't as intense because we didn't have that time and those opportunities. And I'm so grateful to kind of, you know, I've gotten to, like, well, I'm 28 now, but I've gotten to 27 and not had a serious injury yet. And I count myself pretty lucky. But being a professional and having that support around me and being able to just solely focus on getting back fit and working hard, I'm so grateful for that. And, like, for all these young girls coming through now, like, they know that they'll always have that support, which I think is something amazing. And I'm just really excited because the competition is going to be huge because we are growing more strength and depth. We are all pushing each other. Everyone's playing somewhere different. Everyone's playing at a different level, pushing themselves in different positions. But I'm really, really excited to push myself and test myself against these girls because I think, you know, we've all grown so much and we've all got so much further to go. So we can beat the likes of like France and England, and it does become a spectacle and people really want to come watch us. So I'm just really excited to push myself and I'm excited for the challenge.
WXV showed there's still that gap, isn't there, between the very top sides and the likes of yourselves knocking on the door. What does it take to close that gap? Because at club level, so many of you are achieving that.
It's time. I think with a team like England, who are incredibly confident in their ability, and I've had that time, that longer time to be professional and that time together in camp and the established league that they've got in England, you know, it's going to take time for us to get there, but we're not far away, and I don't think that you can completely write us off because, you know, any dog on its day can win a game of rugby. So it's on its way, especially with the leagues growing, and we'll have the younger girls coming in now and pushing us to work harder for that jersey. So I think that's the most important thing, is getting that strength in depth so that when we are training, when we are playing, we are working 10 times as hard so we can keep that jersey.
And getting those younger girls coming through. We've seen a bit of a change in the guard, aren't we, with Shu and Lily Crapp originally, Eleanor Snowsill, Shannon Harris passing on. And we're seeing sort of 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old players coming through. Are they different maybe to the players who came up through more of the amateur era?
Not necessarily, like maybe in the sense of that they're hungrier because they've seen now that they can be professional and they, you know, they are stepping up and they are working really hard. And I think what these, like when I was growing up, there weren't many girls teams around at all for me to play for. You know, I only started playing when I was 18. So a lot of these girls have had a lot more exposure to rugby, a lot more time to learn the game, a lot more time to like develop their soft skills. It's going to be a challenge. They're going to be just as hungry as we are for those jerseys, but you know, having seen how much the game has come on, it's definitely a massive positive. And I want someone to be snapping at my heels. I want to be snapping at someone else's heels. I want us all to be pushing each other and just creating this healthy, competitive environment.
Great. Well, good luck with it. Good luck back at the Arms Park. I'm sure once the whistle goes, you'll be fine. Yeah. But up till then, I imagine it'll be tough.
Yeah. It's all going to be fine. As soon as I make my first hit, everything just melts away. Because, like I've said, rugby is my happy place and I'm just glad to be back on the pitch.
You're listening to the Welsh Rugby Union podcast.
We look forward to that first hit. A player making their debut is Jenny Hesketh at fullback.
Started playing rugby at Leek Rugby Club when I was 6 years old, so in England, the Midlands, and then kind of worked through the England pathway, so a bit different to a lot of the girls here. Played at Loughborough Lightning Premiership Club, and then moved to Bath for uni, and now I'm at Bristol Bears Premiership Club. I've been there for the last 3 seasons. And yeah, I kept in England in the 20s, but I think what's kind of made me sit here now, my mum is Welsh and all of my family are Welsh. And so it's really cool to have the opportunity to represent my whole family in a different way than I have before. But yeah, and also it's that, like, the opportunities that I've been presented with right now, like to work towards a professional contract and how the game is changing in Wales currently. It's a really exciting thing to be a part of.
How did you feel when Wales came knocking?
Good. I think it all happened quite quickly because they were at a Bristol Bears training one time in around Christmas time, just before Christmas. And then me and Johan were just in chats from then and then came into the Feb camp in the Six Nations. So yeah, it all happened quite quickly, but it was very exciting to be obviously in talks with an international coach when I'd kind of come out of the blue in a way. So yeah, that was cool. And to kind of be playing high in the Premiership right now and playing well, it's nice to be getting that recognition.
Was it a hard choice between England and Wales?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, but I think in women's rugby right now, like, every team is so competitive. Like, this Six Nations coming up is going to be the most competitive there's ever been. And so that's something that's really exciting to be a part of. And for personally, for me, this was kind of an avenue that was giving me more opportunities now. I graduate in June this year from uni, so it's the timing-wise as well for me to be possibly turned into a professional contracted player in like June time when I graduate. It kind of changes the shape of my next few years. And like my development into international rugby, it's going to be a big thing, which is why I stuck here. I think this week now is making it all real again, like, because it's test week. We've got Scotland on the weekend. So, yeah, it's a different feel again this week because it's even more competitive, even more game-focused rather than kind of like chaos games and stuff like that that we've been playing before just to get us all running together. So, yeah, it's been great. And it's nice to be in like a professional environment that's also friendly and laid back when you're off pitch. Right now I'm focusing on like the rugby, doing what I can do consistently well. And then after, when I see my mum and my family, it's going to be incredible. And yeah, singing the anthem will be a really, really cool moment. Very excited.
You're also an international in football. So was it a tough decision to go from football to rugby?
Yeah, well, I was playing England colleges, so it's a slightly different level to rugby at the time. But when I was moving to uni, I couldn't balance both playing at a high level. So yeah, I had to choose. It was a difficult decision in a way, but I think like the culture and the environment that is created in a rugby team was different, and that like family side of it I think was massive for me, and also the opportunities I'd had through rugby, like the links I had with Bath Uni and Bristol Bears as well. That was kind of like a pathway was laid out for me, whereas with football it was kind of up in the air and I'd have to pull on strings and try and find my own way. So yeah, it was difficult, but I think yeah, the rugby culture was really, really what drew me to that.
Where's your mother's family from?
She's from Barry, but the others live in Llantwit Major, so kind of spread out around the south. Some in Penarth as well, so yeah.
There'll be quite a few there on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, very local, which is so lovely. There's a few in Cardiff as well, so real home game for all of them, yeah.
What are you studying?
I do sports management and coaching, but I did a placement year last year, so I did... But I did my placement year in New Zealand, so I did a year of working and playing rugby last year out there, so... Yeah, I've kind of done it all with my uni and rugby, which is fun.
How did you find that? How different was that?
Oh, amazing. It was quite nice to go out there and kind of control my own time, because I think in rugby you get so tied up in a routine from when you're a young age, like being in a pathway, to be having to sit around for the whole season and not really have much time to go and explore other things in your life. So I think that was a big time for me to play rugby at a high level. I was playing with Black Ferns each week in my club side, but also live and find those things that I have outside of rugby. So that was really cool. And the culture out there is incredible, so I loved that.
How different was the rugby out there from playing in England?
Oh, they just express themselves. They want to give people the ball and give people that opportunity to just go and do what they're good at. So it was nice to play club rugby and just be like, you can do what you want and we can react to that, and then build throughout the season as to how we wanted to play from everyone's strengths. So yeah, it was fun. And to have like ball carriers all over the park was great, because some of the girls are huge out there. So yeah, they could just take it in and set the picture for us backs to kind of express ourselves, which was nice.
I mean, going back, once upon a time, everyone in your position was dual qualified. You were professional England, amateur Wales, everybody chose England.
Yeah.
You'd obviously know your family background, but when did you become aware of Wales as an option if professional rugby was what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think like the last 3 years is when Wales have seen such growth. Like when they first announced some of the professional contracts, and then each year as they've just grown, I think that's been publicised really well. And I think it's cool to be involved in something that's definitely growing. And yeah, I think the support also through like Premiership, like players are playing week in, week out with England players. Like I compete at Bears, we have, what, 8 Welsh players, like 6 English players, like a few Scottish. So it's quite nice because all of the nations are mixing up together. So then to separate and still have that competitive nature is definitely something that is there now, which is really cool.
But particularly when you play Gloucester Harbour, you're playing a fair percentage of the Wales back. What are they like to play against, and how excited are you playing with?
Yeah, I think Clakey again, like as a fullback, obviously I'm looking for her whenever she's got the ball. When she's playing for Gloucester, I'm like, okay, let's expect like a spiral, let's expect for a long kick. So I think it's really cool now to be playing with her and be like, oh, if I'm in the backfield, I can find her, and then we can try and find space off that. And also opportunities for the kick pass. Like she's got the all-round skill set, which is really, really cool. And at club, we're pushing for like kick passes and things like that to grow more in our game. So here now, the fact that Sean is bringing that in, which is really cool, and using Clakey's kicking game is great. So I'm excited for that.
And she's one of the bigger kickers in the women's game. So how different is it to play against her than many others?
Yeah, I mean, I have to give myself a bit more space with her. Try and get the forwards to give her less time to kick, and then just get under it wherever I can. But yeah, she's a great player. I'm excited to be alongside.
And the Scottish players, obviously, you know them.
Yeah, I think, well, the girls I play with, Lana, Evie, Merrill's are back, Eliane, like, they're players that are across the park. We've got props there, hookers, second row, and also centres. So they're kind of dotted across the park, so it'll be a nice familiar face to see them on the pitch. But yeah, I think to expect from them, ball carries really hard, and their fight through that contact is a big thing. Like, we see that with Evie all the time at Bears. So that's going to be something we definitely need to focus on defending well. I think it's so good that there's so much competition now across the Six Nations.
Wing Nell Metcalf made her debut in the WXV in New Zealand at the age of 18, but her strong recent form made her hard to leave out for her first Six Nations start as well, particularly a recent hat-trick for Gloucester Hartbury.
Yeah, it was a nice way to finish that block with that sort of performance, but just hopefully I can carry that through and perform on the international stage. There's a lot of competition in back three this year, but yeah, I think that's good because we can push each other and make each other better. We've got really exciting outside backs, I think so. I think it'd be good to get the ball in our hands a bit more.
Have any of the senior players taken you under their wing?
Hannah Jones has been really good to me, especially she's at Gloucester as well. Just really good in defence, really knowledgeable.
But what's it like working with Jazz? Do you get a bit starstruck?
Yeah, all the time. She's just an unbelievable athlete, unbelievable rugby player. Just how she is with the ball and in defence as well. She's unreal, so it's amazing to be able to train and play alongside her.
For people who don't know an awful lot about you, we'll come on to the sort of last 12 months and that remarkable journey, but tell us how you got to that point, your sort of rugby journey before that.
Yeah, so I just started playing local club when I was 7 with the boys team in Nance Conwy, yeah, for North Wales. And then at 16 I moved to Hartbury College, and that just really progressed my journey, and then through 18s, 20s and now seniors.
And then how big was the WXV for you?
Oh, it was huge, yeah. Just a crazy experience just to go out there for a month. It was nuts, and to play against those top sides, it's really, like, it doesn't get much better than that, and just a huge learning curve.
So you're 18, you're in the squad, and then they say you've got your debut, you're going to start. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was... It still hasn't sunk in properly, I think. When I look back, that whole month out there was just a whirlwind. But yeah, it was really good, I think, and really helped my development massively just to be able to play that sort of opposition who just are world-class, move the ball so well, and it's just really good to get that sort of exposure and to play against those top sides.
Yeah, obviously playing against top sides makes you all better players. How important was it for you to be at that level, that exposure, rather than, say, the level below?
Yeah, I think massive. Being in the Tier 1 gives us that exposure and to play against the top sides, and I think then coming into the Six Nations, we've had that sort of exposure to the top level sides. So going into maybe the lower, the Tier 2, Tier 3 teams, that should really help us and push us on to be able to play at a high intensity that they might have not experienced in the lower tiers.
And that WXV exposure helps you back, particularly at Gloucester Hartbury as well.
Oh yeah, massively. Just to the PWR is another level as well, so being able to play there has been great for me.
You talked about the hat-trick, and obviously that's quite an achievement, but there's a lot of the Wales players in that back line. You talked about Hannah, but also, yeah, just wondering how much the coordination, the number of you working together week in, week out helps.
Yeah, massively. I think there's a big group of us from Wales in Gloucester, and it does help massively. Even with just being around in camp, having those closer relationships is really nice, and it just makes it easier to then come into this environment.
Flakey at 10, she's got a different skill set to Eleanor, so, and getting the ball wider is one of those, so how nice is that?
Yeah, that's great. She's an amazing player, world class, and it's great to have those sort of players inside you to get the ball wide. I think we've shown with Gloucester that we can do it, it's the same players pretty much, so I think if we can bring that to this stage, I think it'll push us massively and help us going forward to get the ball in those edges.
And finally, if it happens, how would a Six Nations debut compare with your WXV debut, do you think? At home, more family and so on could be here?
Yeah, I think, yeah, just being able to play at home and have friends and family and everyone there would be unreal. And just to play with that sort of crowd, the home crowd, and it would just be amazing.
Because who managed to make the journey out down under?
Oh, yeah, my dad and my little brother came out, they did, yeah. Yeah, it would just be nice to have everyone there.
The pack have led the way, particularly the two first-choice props, Cecilia Tupolotto and Gwendolyn Pearce, who has plenty of respect for Scotland.
They're a really tough team to play against. Historically, we've been really close in the past, so I think they're going to be a real challenge for us Saturday. Last year, the pack went really well for us. It gives us confidence going into games, and hopefully it'll be a big weapon for us going into Scotland Saturday.
Done well against Scotland last few years. Is there a feeling that maybe through the Celtic Challenge that's helping them as well as Wales?
Yeah, I really think it is. They've been competing really well in the Celtic Challenge, and they've got girls playing for the Prem as well. So I think they're going to give us a really good game.
Pack has been the main sort of weapon in the last couple of seasons. Is that going to be the same game plan, or are you looking to change it around? There's some new talent coming into the back line as well.
Yes, we've got new players in the back line. Hopefully we'll see some of the new players playing Saturday. And yeah, our forwards are a weapon, but also our backs are weapons as well.
Scrum's strong, but you like to get your hands on the ball a bit as well. Are you hoping to we see a bit more of you in the loose?
Hopefully, we'll see. Yeah, I do like getting my hands on the ball, but yeah, we'll see.
And the whole thing's been a big shift coming down from North Wales, coming down here. So a couple of years in, how are you finding the whole professionalism experience?
Yeah, so it's been 2 years since I moved down now. It's been really good being professional. It gives us time to recover and everything. I used to travel down 3 times a week and it was a bit crazy, but it's good to have time to recover and do everything I can to play the best I can.
So we could do with a win after the Wales men's team lost another narrow game against Italy last weekend. It was a final cap for George North before international retirement, a bitter pill to swallow, being made that bit tougher by injury just before the end.
Cocktail emotion, I guess. Performance point of view, we know we can be better than that. We've shown glimpses of it. We've shown glimpses for the last few weeks. It's gutted. Obviously, you want to try and make it home a fortress. You know, it's always tough to lose at home. But, you know, where we are as a squad, it's you know, have to hit these rough patches as we go. Personally, it's a word I can't say. But people don't always get the fairy tale ending they want. With 2 minutes to go, I thought I might have had a chance to take it all in. And then, obviously, stuff happens. Yeah, you know, I'm still incredibly proud of what I've achieved and how I've gone about my work, and to be able to do it at home is really special for me. We spoke quite honestly, and I think you have to be in these times. You know, we know where we are as a squad, we know the age and the rotation we're at the moment, and we've started our cycle a lot earlier than a lot of other nations. And for us, it's we know the standard, the boys know the standard. Gats drives that, the coaches drive that, but it's going to take time for us to get there. Obviously, ending like we did is not perfect, and no one in international jersey, especially in a Welsh jersey at home, would ever want to say that. But you know, unfortunately, we've got to take the rough for the smooth. And like, I have no doubt, I addressed the boys this morning and I said, look, I leave my jersey in safe hands. Do you mean there's some serious talent coming through, and some real positives and some shining light, but we just got to give them time. And unfortunately, we are in the results business, and the results business waits for no man. So, you know, we've got, I say we, not anymore, they have got a bit of time now between back to clubs before summer tour, and what a great challenge now, the summer tour for these boys to go away, not too far for South Africa, obviously, Twickenham, but 2 tests in Australia, end of a long year World Cup. You know, this is the experience the boys need, that resilience, that robustness they need to build into them and drive forward.
Wales under-20s finished with a win, an impressive second-half performance, but there's still plenty of work being put in to improve things at that level and develop the pathway. Here's an indication of what they're working on from coach Richard Whiffen.
I think it's improving the quality, but also improving the depth. You see, you know, you take a few dings in a tournament, your depth gets tested. We haven't been able to put our best team out on the field at any point during the campaign. Those things are challenges, but I think in terms of structurally, there's more eyes on how we can improve the pathway and the development of younger players, and certainly them getting more consistent game time at regional and professional level is one way that's going to speed up their development. It's no surprise that our best performers consistently through the campaign have been the lads that are training and playing consistently at regional level.
We know there's a strategy coming out. We know there's going to be a new elite league of next season. How much is the development of 16 to 23-year-olds a big part of that strategy?
Yeah, massively. And statistically, like the Welsh Schools and Colleges League has taken a step the last couple of years and ball in plays up, and then you look at the EDC that's coming in. There's incentives for teams to play younger players, try and play more expansively, keep the ball on the field, high ball in play. So hopefully that lends itself to getting younger players more game time. That's something that certainly as a union from my end that we'll be pushing hard, that those teams, they stick with their own identity but also have a mindset that they want to develop players, and it's not necessarily just about wins and losses.
And one of the big factors has been physicality in many of those games. What happens to improve that? You can't just walk out and find bigger people.
No, we can't. So what we have to do, and again, this is strategy, we have to feed the players better. We have to physically look after them better. And ultimately, it's going to take time for these players to grow. You know, we've got a smaller player base, so there's no wonder that your French and your English teams, which have got bigger player bases, have got more anomalies and bigger players. It's just the nature of a numbers game, so we have to make sure with our numbers that we look after them and really develop them through good nutrition, good strength and conditioning, outstanding coaching, and give them the best opportunity to come through.
So maybe the end of the men's Six Nations, but there's so much going on for next week's Welsh Rugby Union podcast. Keep listening for that. But until then, goodbye.